can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists,
But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone. Now, let's start the timer. Jay, how do you feel today?
Well, honestly, we recorded this last week, and I will say, getting up and cooking, I feel a little bit better than when I started that last episode.
Good.
But it also could be because I took a nap earlier, and I'm still, like, coming out of it.
God, a nap sounds great. I thought about sleeping at work today, but...
I needed it so bad. How about you? How are you?
Well, same as I was, you know, 30 seconds ago.
Reggie, you wanna quit licking the stove?
No, I feel better than I did earlier. We went to the gym earlier, obviously, and, like, I needed that. I felt so gross today, and I think sweating it out helped a little bit. I'm still sweating, but, you know.
I have been a little off my gym schedule with that house stuff, so...
That's
besides today... Today was kind of my first day I could have gone, and I was like, I don't have it in me. I'm exhausted, and I'm cranky.
Yeah, that's understandable, though.
So, hopefully, tomorrow... I can get back on schedule.
Well, you had something on our last week episode, towards the end, that you wanted to get into. What do you want to get into?
I did. We were talking last week about the fear of the big change, the upping and moving.
Yes.
And I want to ask you, what's stopping you?
It's, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I've been thinking about that a lot lately, and I think it really is just that I'm afraid to rip the Band-Aid off to some degree. I've made this list of things in my head that need to get done before we go, and I don't know, I'm not as certain that I need to do all of them, you know? Really, we got to sell the house, but that doesn't necessarily... We talked about this yesterday, actually. And I was like, well, we could, hypothetically, you know, if we're staying with friends, move and just sell the house at whatever pace we need to. Not like that we want to stay with our friends forever, but like, you know, there's not anything that could keep us from doing that. And if we want to make the move, you know, I could always live with somebody here until I find a job there, because Joe will have an easier time transferring than I will. And yeah, and I've been working on this analytics course that I wanted to complete before we do make the move, because I want to move into a proper data analyst role, and I don't have a degree like I talked about last week, and so that becomes difficult with certain people. But I was looking at the city of Minneapolis, and a lot of their analyst jobs, specifically data analyst jobs, don't require you to have a degree, but you can use a degree to substitute for experience.
Exactly.
And I was like, that is forward thinking. Because that's what I always get concerned about. I was always concerned that my lack of a degree was going to keep me from getting places. And to some degree, it does. But I don't know. I feel like I'm at a point now where I'm trying to surmount these fears of changes that I've needed to make anyways. And that's one of them that we're going to have to make sooner rather than later with the state of politics in this country.
That's kind of it. So I originally wasn't going to sell my house until I'd done all the changes I wanted to on it. So that way it was perfectly presentable to exactly what I wanted to sell it as.
Right.
And then I finally was just like, why? So I just was like, fuck it. I'm going to move and then list it. And that's what I did. And I put no effort into it after that. And you can ask my friend. I really just kind of like wrote the house off and then had to like force do a few things at the end. But
yeah, and I think that's part of the concern is that we have things that need to get done to the house. But I don't know. I also feel like there's just, it's going to be nigh impossible for us to sell at a loss.
I was going to say, you have enough equity that basically you would just not benefit from some of the comp increases for things you didn't update or didn't do.
Right, exactly.
And so, yeah, you're going to lose a tiny bit of money that you could have gotten, but you're also going to have to go spend that money anyways. So
why not just not spend the money? And just, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I think that's where we're at. I think going into getting through this year, because we have trips and everything planned out and paid for the year. But I think that's our next year, no matter what, we're going to be pulling the trigger and just listing and getting rid of the house no matter what. Cause I am getting very exhausted living in Oklahoma.
So why can't you do it this year, even with your books trip?
My books trip?
Your trip's booked. Well, sorry.
You know, you're probably right. I guess it's probably just me being, afraid.
I would assume it's because those are planned and it's going to feel chaotic if you go through it and with that stuff planned, but yeah. It's kind of one of those situations where it's like, fuck it.
I mean, it's going to be chaotic no matter what we do.
You're going to feel chaotic and you're going to want to keep booking trips anyways. So
yeah, that's very true. I think the other thing is, you know, I'm pretty close to my grandma and my niece, and
that I understand.
Yeah, and that I think I don't want to, like, I hate the thought of moving and my grandma thinking that, like, I couldn't stay here for her, but at the same time, like, it is my life and I do need to do things for myself.
I mean, that's kind of a thing, is you can't blame yourself. You can't limit yourself for other people. Right. And if they blame you for something, then that's kind of where I'm like, well, you have your own problem if things went bad because I didn't stick around. It's not like I, like, run your life for you. It's not like I just dropped you and stopped doing anything.
Right. Well, it's not even, I don't think she'll feel that way for sure. It's just, it is very difficult sometimes, I feel like, to explain the issue with political climate and being gay to people who are not gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to mute myself for a second, so fill the silence, because I want to check a couple of things and things that have to get loud here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is kind of one of the unfortunate parts about being gay in Oklahoma. Well, actually, just being gay in general, no matter where you are. People don't quite understand it. People don't see the levity behind it. Because a lot of people are like, fine, do whatever you want. It's your life. And I'm like, yeah, I will. Now, the problem is so many of you don't want me to live that life that you make a lot of changes. And there's so many of you that don't care But your not caring impacts me because then there's a lot of people that do care about what I do. And so I'm always in this fight in a country that's allegedly free to have freedom.
A country that will let you go to war and die for it, but not let you marry who you want if certain people have a way about it.
Well, and a country's not free if everyone's not getting the same equal rights.
Right. Well, I think
that's part of it, is trying to explain that to people whenever you're talking about politics. And it's... politicians have done such an incredible job of making my personal life a political talking point that people don't see my life as my life. They see it as politics. And I hate that, because that hasn't happened to straight people. That doesn't happen to them. We don't legislate straight people. Not like that, at least.
And then there's, like, the situation that I run into where, and I think you run into it too. A lot of people say, I don't really care that you're gay. And those are really nice words to say, but their thought process and their actions behind it don't support that, really.
Well, and it goes towards the idea as well that I equate it, and this is, these are not the same thing, so don't misunderstand.
Oh, my God.
I make this, like, connection because it always rings true to me, is that you can't... it's not enough to not be racist. You have to be anti-racist. And that is the same thing for being gay. It's not enough to just be okay with gay people. You have to be an ally. And that is something that I think people forget. Like, not doing anything in a country where people are trying to actively legislate away my rights is effectively being okay with people legislating away my rights.
Yeah.
And people forget that. And it's because they don't have to deal with it. It's not their life. It's not something that impacts them. They see it. They see it around the corner. They see it out of, like, the shadow of their eye. Like, they see it in a way that is in the periphery. And I don't know. It is so fucking frustrating.
Well, and it's so interesting to me that people like to play a little bit of blind ignorance towards how other people live and their lives. Like, for example, the abortion discussion. I don't relate to that in any possible way, really.
No.
But I put myself in their shoes. How would I feel in any scenario? Because I want to take an interest, and if I'm trying to make decisions that impact somebody else's life,
yeah,
you know, I have to actively put my mind to it. I can't just, and I can't just be like, oh, but the baby, it's the baby's right. And I'm like, ah, I get how simple it is to go that way. 100%, I get it. I'm not dumb. But there's so much more depth to it. I don't know how you can simply just black and white think of that process and go, it's so easy. It's obvious. I don't know why you can't see it this way.
It's, again, it's people who think these things are political talking points. It's things that don't impact them in any way, shape, or form. And they never have had to deal with it. I think it is, for people who are gay, there is the advantage of having to deal with the fact that you are gay, and especially growing up in an environment where people are staunchly anti-gay. Mm-hmm. And the country is pretty anti-gay. I'm not getting beheaded in the public square legally, but, you know, you can sort of drive me behind a truck and kill me, and, you know, it's not going to make the 5 o'clock news. But it's having to deal with that, I think, makes us a little bit more able to empathize with people. And to look at those issues and think of them from the people perspective and not from a political perspective or a religious perspective. And I also think not having religion is a huge advantage when it comes to empathizing with other human beings. Because all the people who think that religion makes them good, is they're just absolutely 100% wrong. Your religious beliefs don't make you good or bad.
they're just religious beliefs, and then most of the time they just make you an asshole.
Well, because they make you think that you've done good things and that everything you think is good, and I'm like, okay, so no, let's evaluate that real quick.
Well, and I think that's just it. Like, there are people who think that just being Christian in this country makes them a good person. And they firmly believe that, and I don't understand it because it's... I do understand it because of the way I was raised. I do understand where that perspective comes from. What I don't understand is how people don't get it out of their heads as they grow into society.
Yeah, and it's so weird looking at like how narrow the thought process is for like people I grew up with and how hard it is to think beyond their way.
Yeah. Well, and it's religious beliefs. Like, people get that so stuck in their heads, and especially in small towns and rural America, there is this misconception amongst these small communities that the whole of the country is out to get them and out to take things from them. And they already have so little, they're staunchly defensive of everything. And so they get stuck in these really black and white spaces when nobody gives a shit about your gun. Nobody really gives a shit about you being a farmer. I mean, I get it. Fall on that sword all day long if it makes you feel better about yourself, but Jesus fucking Christ, people appreciate farmers. I eat, so yeah, I am part of agriculture. Your sticker isn't wrong, but holy fuck. Like, how do you feel so attacked? I don't sit at work all day thinking, like, man, people don't appreciate inventory things. Like, it's just never gonna happen to me that way.
I don't see life that small.
Right. But you see these veggies.
Oh, those look delicious.
Hell yeah, they do. Yeah, I think we grew up around people who felt eternally victimized because of their religious beliefs and being country folk.
Oh, for sure. My parents, everyone was like, oh, city people think they're so smart and they just don't know what us farmers have to go through. And we're obviously the smarter ones. And those scientists that do stuff for farmers, they don't know anything that they're doing. They only use their education. And I'm like, hey. Just because they're out of touch with the actual farming side of it, maybe you guys just have to fucking work together. Instead of sitting there going, hey, because they're smart, they're stupid, and they don't understand us. I'm like, maybe they're missing a side of it that you know because you have experience on this end. Why don't you benefit it that way instead of being a bitch all the fucking time?
I swear, I don't understand it. I don't understand people don't get out of their heads about it, I guess. I struggle with it. I see it. I've seen it a million times. But it's that eternal victim mentality because I don't... And this is one that's always been wild to me since I finally got myself out of the church, is how many people who are in the church think that being in the church means that they're marginalized, means that people are out to get them, that people don't want Christians to exist. And they take every single thing that happens, like, let's say, gay marriage. That's an attack on Christianity to them. When it's really just me trying to have equality. And so they build these, you know, giant mountains out of molehills in their heads, and they have this confirmation bias because they all go to church on Sunday. They all hang out with each other, and they all tell each other the same things. And so they all are perpetually thinking the exact same thing that the world's out to get them. You get away from it, you realize, wow, no, actually Christianity kind of fucking runs this place.
Well, and on top of that, I think a lot of Christians feel like they're also being attacked because people tell them to leave them alone And Christians are like, yeah, but I'm trying to help you, because they're getting so wrapped up in themselves and their goodness based off of their false belief, that they think that when you're telling them no and pushing them away, that you're trying to stop Christianity.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm just trying to live my life and not be told how to live because of you. Just because you want to live that way does not mean we all have to.
So there is this church near our house called Eastland Baptist Church. And every now and again, and it's got to happen a lot while I'm at work, I'm guessing, but every now and again, one of their buses shows up at the front of our neighborhood and drops off a shit ton of kids. And they all go out canvassing the neighborhood with pamphlets. And I have got to tell you, man, that is such a bullshit indoctrination technique for kids, because what's happening is you're telling these kids all the time that Christians are being marginalized for their beliefs, that nobody likes them, and then you're sending them out to random strangers' homes on a day that they're not expecting them to be there to peddle religion, and so they're going to get doors slammed in their faces, not literally, well, sometimes literally, but mostly
figuratively. It's like...
let's not go too far. And so they experience this and they see it and they're like, wow, everybody was right in Sunday school or whatever. Everybody doesn't like Christians. We really are marginalized. The only place that I have to go that I can be safe is the church. And it's just, I mean, it's indoctrination. Plain and simple.
I will never forget when... I don't remember. I know I was in my house for a bit, and I looked outside and saw, like, a bunch of cars parked in front of my house, which I lived on a street where across from me, no houses faced the street, so it was a really good spot to, like, parallel park your car. And it was a bunch of cars. I'm like, oh, somebody's having a party, and I don't recognize any of those vehicles. Well, and then I, like, started looking around and seeing that a bunch of church people had gotten out of their car and started canvassing the neighborhood. And right as I acknowledge that, they pop around my garage door on my sidewalk to head up to my porch. And I went, oh, no, because I had my front door open and I was looking through my storm door. And I went, oh, no, no, no. And then I just, like, shut the door as they were walking up.
Well, I mean, I usually ignore them. Now we have, like, a lot of signs on the door that say, don't solicit and don't peddle your religion here. And I know they might be tacky, but I don't give a shit. Because I just...
Fuck it.
We pamper Christians in this country so fucking much while minorities continue to suffer on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to be victimized so bad. And I wish we would. Mm-hmm. I wish we would. That's just me being petty and mean, but I wish we would.
Yeah.
Because I'm so sick of it, and it's so stupid to me that people who are claiming to be Christian and religious have lost so much sight of any sort of positivity their religion used to have, that it makes them hateful. And I'm just like, you really guys are missing the core concept of a lot of this. I don't know if you guys read this book, but I did a lot. I was forced to a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
So I did. I read this fucking book a lot because I thought it was going to cure me from being gay. Turns out.
Oh my God. That's strange.
Just, yeah. And it's just like, it's so wild because it's just people who think that going to church on Sunday and reading a passage every now and again makes them religious and Christian, and they forget about like the core concepts and foundations of their supposed faith.
I mean, I'll never forget when I called my mom out for religion and her behavior towards other people, and then how I said, I don't understand how you feel justified when you're just as much as a sinner and they're all equal, because I've read the Bible.
In the Bible, yeah.
And I literally get a text like the next day justifying her actions, saying that it was okay the way she handled things.
And that's just it. Like, if you really were practicing your religion. You could have just said, you know what? You're right. I am a sinner, and I acknowledge that. Instead, she went for justification, because she can't say she's wrong.
No, God, no, can't be. Bad. Well, and I'm the one who needs to open my eyes and look for the light.
I will never forget. I have a cousin who is very religious, and she started saying, it was on Facebook, so clearly, you know, stupid, but I had just made some post about something, and she got Christian on it, and I was just like, I don't need you to peddle your faith to me. I just don't need it. And it's the way they speak whenever they're getting the holier-than-thou mentality, and it changes the way they don't speak the way they normally speak. They turn into the religious scholar at that point.
Yeah.
And they adopt the religious scholar, and suddenly now we know something. I'm very smart about this. So I'm going to speak to you as though I'm very smart about this.
I love calling it out too.
I mean, it would be like me telling you I have a master's degree in all of Christopher Paolini's books. It means bullshit to anybody who doesn't know who that is.
Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten to the point when mom does that. I'm like, oh, here we go. You've now reached the new level of your religion where you feel like you can basically preach to me because you feel like you're more in touch with the God than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, so peddle your way through, get it out, because you've got to feel superior.
And that's just it. I think a lot of people use Christianity as a way to gain moral high ground without having to do anything.
Yeah, it's, oh man, and it makes them feel so good.
It makes them feel so good. They fucking love it. And I just, I can't with those people. And I think one of the things that's, I'm still very cynical about religion, Christianity specifically, but like, I'll have this conversation, you know, let's say a bar with friends, and there's always like one or two people who are like, but you just don't go to the right church.
Oh, God.
My man, my woman, my they, them, Jesus Christ, what the fuck? I've been to so many churches. It's not that. Anyways, but they think their church is the right church. It's always the right church.
Oh, their church is always a good church. We accept gay
people. Don't worry. And yeah, I don't know. It's anyways.
We're open to your kind. Although what's going to happen is we're going to say some stuff that sounds like we're like, well, you know, you yeah. could do better.
Well, that's just it. It's the, I don't know. I don't trust churches, and I probably never will. Because especially, I've been burned too many times in the past.
Well, for me, it's just what I've witnessed over the years. I'm just like, wait.
Well, we're still having to deal with it. Like, we're still currently dealing with religion trying to enact laws that regulate the way that we live our lives because they want us to live the way that they want us to live. They want to cleanse society of different people so that they don't have to see them existing.
Well, I could use a bath, but not that one.
Ugh, yeah, I need another shower after this. I'm so sweaty.
I don't know how. I made this super duper easy, and I feel great right now. I mean, I'm hungry, but we only have like just under 3 minutes left. So
I was gonna say, yeah, this is gonna be my dinner as well. Actually, I think when I like just throw this in a bowl and have this to eat tonight too, because I've got a little leftover chicken too that needs to get tossed. So
that's what I did. I was like, I'm going to make 4 meals, so I have Tuesday through Friday. Because during the day, all I do is, like, today it was, like, cheese sticks and protein drinks, because I try and keep it super low-cal. Although, oh, no, I forgot. I had a crumble cookie because it was somebody's birthday. And it was so goddamn good.
I think I had, like, 2 hard-boiled eggs, my leftover ramen from yesterday, and then I snacked on some nut mix. And now this
the only reason I even ate it was because I was like, okay, you know that you are still going to be under calories today, so you can afford to have this shitty 500 calorie cookie.
Well, I still went to the gym and burned probably whereabouts of 700-ish calories, so I think I'm solid.
I'll never forget whenever I was doing calorie counting years ago, and I was going to the gym, and I think I was on a calorie cut of like 1,200 calories a day. And I was going to the gym a lot, and basically by dinner time, I had still little calories. And I was like finishing up at the gym, and I was just angry. I would be like, what the fuck? I can't eat anything. God damn.
I'm always of the opinion that I can't just eat anything, but if I'm working out actively and I just make it some healthier choices, I'll be fine.
Well, and so I'd be like, I don't have any food at the house. I got to go pick up something, and there's nowhere that gives good, healthy food. God damn it.
I should get Chipotle. That was always my go-to when I was really trying to watch what I was eating whenever I worked, whenever I was single, and there was a Chipotle, like, within walking distance of my workplace. I just literally walked there every day. I swear, for lunch, every day, for 2 whole months, I ate Chipotle.
That's one of my coworkers.
Because well, it was and just, what's... I'd get, like, rice, beans, fajita veg, chicken, and then, like, salsa. And that was it.
And what's funny now is I find a lot of meals that are super low calorie. This one's low calorie if I make it. And then even if I need to pick up something, if I do like grilled chicken and fruit from Chick-fil-A, I mean, that's very minimal.
Chick-fil-A?
I know. It's one of the options. But I can also do Chipotle or Panda Express. If you do like the string green chicken and beef and broccoli and super greens, it's super low cal.
It's low calorie.
And it's a lot of food, and so I can split it in half, and it's even lower calorie, so...
That's why I made 2 trays of veggies, because I like to add a lot of veggies to my lunches so that I don't fill up on other things.
Yeah, this one's definitely dense and veggie. But we reached 30 minutes again, so look at that.
Well, come back next week, whenever we'll talk about something else.
Hopefully, or else we'll just keep ragging on the same shit we always do.
Christians, probably. Bye, listeners.
Bye, guys.
And we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists @gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone, and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the U.S. or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it, and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.